Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
If you have your Bible, smartphones, tablets, want to follow along, we're going to be looking at a couple of verses in that scripture, James chapter 3. So this is our final series on things we need to be reminded about. Next Sunday is First Sunday of Lent, and so we're starting a new Lenten season. It's titled Journeying with Jesus to the Cross, and we're going to be journeying with him into the Garden of Gethsemane and walking with him as he is tried. We'll be beside him as he moves towards the cross. My hope is that your journey with him will cause you to love him more and go deeper in your spiritual life. So I encourage you to make your spiritual life a priority during this coming time of Lent. But this morning, I want to end off our series on things we need to be reminded of by preaching a sermon I kind of preached in January of 2019 called Garbage Margins, because it's something that I need to be reminded of regularly, and maybe you do too. Heard a story of this guy, worked at Chili's restaurant. Customer came in to the restaurant to get his takeout order. The guy working at Chili's took his name, went to the orders, couldn't find his name. Went back, made sure that he heard the name right, went back, couldn't find his name. And so he said, I'm sorry, sir. I can't find your order here. And, well, the man just went off on him. What kind of place is this? How can you be so stupid? How hard is it to get the order right? What's wrong with you? The server said, kept his cool. And he said, listen, if you give us your order, I'll make sure that our cooks assemble it as fast as we can. And so he went through his order, and then he got to the Ahi tuna salad, and the man, the server said with the straightest face as he could, your server's at the Outback restaurant next door. Guy turns around, walks out, doesn't say sorry, doesn't say a thing. That's it. I don't know about you, but sometimes people can be difficult to deal with. Now, if you have read the scripture and heard the words of Jesus, you will know that Christians are supposed to be different. Jesus, on the night before he died, said in John chapter 13, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We are Christians are supposed to love each other. You say, well, thanks, Captain Obvious, I know that. It's not a news flash. The question is, well, how do we practice it? The last church I pastored, we made a concerted effort at it over a period of time to put an emphasis on community. People getting to know one another, deepening their relationships with one another. I preached on it. There were small groups on it. My assistant pastors preached on it. And it started to happen. People started to have more depth in their relationships. It went past the surface levels of, hi, how are you, to how are you really doing? And you know what happened? Interpersonal conflict broke out all over the place. All of a sudden people were getting to know each other, and they found that there were some rough edges. And people got nicked in those hard edges, and conflict broke out. I was in high school. In high school, I used to play in a church hockey league. This is not me, but hey, just saying. It was there that I developed a theology that God's spirit existed everywhere except over the surface of an ice hockey arena. You have these really nice guys, wonderful Christian men, and you put a pair of skates on them and put a hockey stick in their hand, and they would go ballistic. You know, the rule in the Church Hockey League was it was a no contact, no body contact, and so I wasn't good enough a player to know, but the guys who played in full contact leagues, they said, well, this league is far worse to play in because, you know, in a full contact league, you're kind of ready for the hit. But in a non-contact league, you're kind of skating around and you get hip checked and you just go flying. In a lot of ways, church life can be like that. It's like a hockey rink. You come into the Christian community, you have Jesus' words ringing in your ear. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another. But you're just doing your thing. You're doing whatever you do in community. And all of a sudden, you get hip-checked. Now, this doesn't nullify the words of Jesus. Love one another. But if that happens to you, it can shake you right down to your toes. We hear Jesus' commands and we say, well, how do we do that? How do you love people with rough edges? How do you love irregular people? How do you love people who are really different than you? How do you love people who do things, that say things, that grate on you? How do you love people who vote different than you, think different than you? How do you love people when you get hip checked? Well, come with me to James chapter 3, verse 2. New International Version says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. The King James Version puts it this way. For in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle their whole body. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, we all, that includes you, includes me, we all stumble in what we say. We all offend. The Word of God declares that if you hang around me long enough, and I hang around you long enough, I'm going to offend you, and you're going to offend me. Just the way it is. We're all going to stumble in what we say. So you're skating around community, and it's a non-contact sport. And the Bible says you are going to get hip-checked with an offense sooner or later. And if you're not ready for it, it'll shake you right down to your toes. So what do you do about it? What do you do about it? Well, let me introduce you to this morning's concept, a garbage margin. You give people a margin for garbage. Sometimes they're just going to say garbage. You put a garbage margin around people. Here's the thing. The less you expect to be offended, the more likely you will be. But when you know that an offenses are going to happen, becomes no big deal. So that when somebody says something that's offensive, you say, that's coming out of the garbage margin. I built that into my expectation. I knew this was going to happen. God's word declares it was going to happen. God's word is true, go figure. Let's get on with life, right? I have the slogan I adopted. I was visiting this senior lady in Ottawa, and she was making a comment about what people were saying. She says, Pastor, people say the stupidest things. Fair enough, I've adopted that slogan. People say the stupidest things. That's biblical. We all offend. We all stumble. People say stupid things. Expect it. We're going to all be offended. And I've been known to say some stupid things. I know you can't believe that, right? No, but I've been known to say some stupid things. It's part of the human condition. Accept it. Now, if you use this sermon as an excuse to say stupid things, You're a fool, number one. And, you know, that's not Christian. I know people who are deliberately offensive just so that they can push other people's buttons. That has no place in the body of Christ. But even when we're trying to be gracious and love one another, and you can expect that sooner or later, everyone's going to say something stupid, something offensive. People in community tend to do one of two things if people say something offensive. They tend to back away, I'm not going to go near them. Or they tend to confront the person. Let's get into it. What I'm saying is that might not be the appropriate initial response. There may be a place for that after a while, but it's not where we need to go first. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. Did you catch that? It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. The Bible says it's to your glory to overlook an offense, to write things off as a garbage margin. It's to your glory when people say stupid things to say, well, that was one of them, and move on. Now, there are times to confront behavior when behavior is persistent and there is injustice being done. But the first response to an offense is to overlook it. If you look at the life of Jesus, you will see that there were times when he offended people. He was the one person who never said stupid things, and yet he offended people. There were times when he did what he needed to do not to offend people. But there never was a time when he himself was offended over what was said about him personally. Now, there were two times when he was actually offended. The time he cleared the temple, it was obvious that he was offended over what was happening in the temple. They made the house of prayer into a den of thieves is what he said. There's another time when Peter said, told him that he didn't have to die, and Jesus replied, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block and offense to me." Come back to that statement in a while. But Jesus didn't take offense to what was said about him. And that's surprising. People called him a drunkard. Called him a friend of sinners, and that was not cool at that time. People called him a glutton. That's pretty offensive language. Yet he didn't take an offense. You have his disciples being offended, his family being offended. The Pharisees were definitely offended. But Jesus wasn't offended. From time to time, I run into people who are easily offended. They'll tell me, "Pastor, I'm easily offended," which I don't know what to do with that when they say that to me. But whenever you meet someone like that, you can tell a couple of things. One, there's a good chance that they're very wounded people. And two, they haven't come to the full reach of the cross of Jesus. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the word offense in Hebrew is stink or stench. Offense and sin are often used in parallel structures. Isaiah 59, verse 12 says, "For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquity." Offense, sin, iniquities are used in the same way. Our sin is a stench on the nostrils of God. You've offended God with what we've said, with what we've done. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none of us who are righteous, no, not one. We smell, our sins smell. We're offensive. But the story of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sin. Isaiah chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. The gospel is this: Jesus took our stench. He bore our offense. He took our sins upon himself. Now we who were a stench in the nostrils of God have been cleansed, purified, deodorized, if you would. In fact, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Instead of being offensive to God, instead of being a stench in God's nostrils, we have become the aroma of Christ. He took our stench. We're not offensive anymore because of what Jesus did. Now, if I was into being cheesy, I'd have you turn to your neighbor and say, "You smell beautiful," but we don't do cheese here, okay? Just so you know. And when somebody says or does something offensive, you know that it's going to happen. It stinks. But now you know once you stunk, and you know what Jesus, that Jesus took your stink upon himself. Now, when other people stink, you have two choices. You either embrace it and get smelly and leave again, or you can leave it for the one who can take care of the stink. In the New Testament, translates the word offense as a stumbling block, offense or a stumbling block. It translates it from the word scandalon. Now, we remember when Jesus was offended by Peter, when Peter said he didn't have to die. Jesus says, "You are an offense to me. You're a scandalon to me." You ever seen somebody trying to trap a squirrel? The basic trap is you have the setup, you have the box up, and you have a stick holding up the box, and you have bait on the inside. You have a string on the stick, and when the squirrel enters, you pull the stick, and hopefully the box falls and traps the squirrel. That stick that is holding the box up, that's called a scandalon in Greek. Jesus is saying to Peter, "Peter, you're a scandalon to me. You're a trap to me. You're offense to me. You are the baited trigger that wants to box me in and keep me from doing God's will. Get behind me." In the New Testament, that's what a scandalon is. It's a trap. That's what an offense is. It's a trap. You're going to be offended. That's a given. God said it would happen, and it will happen. And sure as night follows day, you will experience it. But if you choose to give a garbage margin and say, "I knew that was going to happen," and walk away, you've avoided the trap. If you choose to forgive, walk away, you've avoided the trap. If you choose to leave the stench for someone who can deal with it, namely God himself, you avoid the trap. However, if you take the bait, if you take up the offense and bring it into your heart, if you own it as your own, "I'm offended," the trap falls. Let me describe what happens when a Christian takes up the bait, takes up an offense. They normally harden their hearts towards person and often people, and it usually doesn't stop there. Proverbs 18, verse 19 says, "A brother wronged," other translations say an offended brother, "is more unyielding than a fortified city." Disciples are like a barred gates of a citadel. We wall ourselves in. And we are only let people in when we're sure they're not going to hurt us. And inside our hearts, we brood and we harbor the offenses, whether real or perceived, and we start to produce unholy fruit. Anger, outrage, jealousy, resentment, strife, bitterness, hatred, envy. And these things all come as a result of attacks, wounding, and division, separation, broken relations, betrayal. We take an offense to ourselves. I'm offended. And it's a trap. It's a trap that gets camouflaged by our pride. We'll be able to rationalize, I can, how I'm justified in holding on to an offense. The religious spheres of our world and worldly wisdom may come along and say, hey, you should resent what they said about you. And while you still sit in your gilded trap, you'll not bear good fruit. You won't know peace or joy, but you have your offense and you nurse it. Now, if you have a church full of these kind of people who are wounded, and they run into others who have been wounded, and there's traps sprung up all over the place. No, not much happens. Everyone is trapped in their own fortress. So what do we do when somebody offends you? Well, the first thing you say is garbage margins. Garbage margins, garbage margins. I expected that. God's word said that would happen. It happened. And you let it pass. What do you do when people offend? Be quick to forgive. Talked about forgiveness a couple weeks ago. Be quick to forgive. What do you do when people throw spears? Duck. Let it go by. Remember King David with King Saul? What did David do when King Saul threw a spear at him? He ducked. And he ran. What do you do when people throw an offensive spear at you? Duck. Don't take it to heart. Let it go by. And there are some, as you know, there are different levels of maturity. What usually happens when you're young is in the faith is an offense happens and you take the bait and you get trapped. And hopefully a wiser brother or sister can come along and help you out of the trap, help you to forgive, help you to release the offense. If you are a young adult in terms of spiritual development, you're going to spot the trap. You're going to spot the bait, and you're going to run away. If you are a mature spiritual person, you're going to spot the trap, and then you're going to ask, what was so attractive of me holding on to that offense? I really wanted to hold on to it. I choose to let it go. But why was my heart attracted to that? And you allow, the spiritually mature people allow what they're seeing in their heart to take them closer to God and purify their heart. I want to encourage you. Give people grace. Remember garbage margins. Garbage margins. People are going to say garbage sometimes. We're going into a season of Lent, journeying with Jesus to the cross. I want to encourage you. If you have offenses, let them go. If you're in the trap, open it up by forgiveness and watch what Jesus does. Let's pray. So, Lord, we give thanks today because your word is very practical. Lord, it's to our glory to let an offense pass by. I am praying that you would indeed help us to walk in your glory. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com. where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.